Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
God is at work, and God is looking for us just to respond to Him obediently and to take steps of faith. And as we do that, that will put us in that place where we just find ourselves swept up in the work of God. Things that we didn't even dream would, you know, be a possibility.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Acts, chapter 4, verses 13 through 31, in a message titled, The Sovereign Lord and the Threats of Men. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, so here we are once again in the fourth chapter, and we're looking at this story, and we're coming today as we look at the story. Now we're looking at the authorities and their dealings with the apostles and the response of the apostles to this situation that has arisen here, where they have been arrested and they have been put in jail, and they are being severely threatened that they are not to continue to speak or to teach or to preach in the name of Jesus. So what we want to do is we want to look at how they responded to this moment of opposition that arose, and then we want to look at why they responded the way they responded, and then finally we want to look at how this experience of theirs speaks to us today. But before we go and look at those things, I want to remind you of how they ended up in this predicament, because this is something that I think is really important for us to grab hold of. And the situation here that they find themselves in, standing before the political, governmental authorities and boldly proclaiming the gospel to them, this isn't something that they planned to do. This wasn't the result of some strategy that they had to, you know, man, we've got to get the gospel to the leaders of the nation. It wasn't anything like that at all. It was really all a result of them just taking a simple step of faith. And that goes back to the healing of the lame man at the gate. And then how that started this chain reaction, how that set everything in motion. And the thing that I want us to understand here is how God is at work. He was at work then, He's at work now. And although we can certainly, you know, plan to do things, and there's nothing the matter with that, what we need to realize is that God already has a plan, and God is looking for us just to respond to Him obediently and to take steps of faith. And as we do that, that will put us in that place where we just find ourselves swept up in the work of God. Things that we didn't even dream would, you know, be a possibility. I think of an experience that I had many years ago. I was invited, this is back in 2001, I was invited along with a friend to attend an event in Washington, D.C. And so on September the 10th, 2001, I flew to Washington, D.C., and we all know what happened the next morning. So the event that I was scheduled to attend was obviously canceled because of the attacks in New York and at the Pentagon. And this ended up resulting in a situation where I never would have dreamed that we could find ourselves involved in the kind of ministry that we were involved in. So, you know, the terrorist attack took place. I was in Washington, D.C. My primary objective was to get back to California. And at the time, that was not an easy thing to do. Flights were all canceled. Car rentals were not available. And I was staying with some friends there in the DC area, and there was a van full of people that were going to get on the road. They were going to drive from DC across country and eventually back to California. There was one seat left in the van, and that seat was available for me. I got in the van, I sat down, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Don't leave. I don't want you to go." And I'm like, "That's not the Lord, because I got to get out of here. You know, my family's back at home. I have no idea what's going on. I got to get back home." I really felt very strongly that I was supposed to stay. So I did. I got out of the van and I, you know, went in the house and actually just knelt down beside the bed there in the room that I was staying in. I said, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but, you know, whatever it is, here I am." So to make a long story short, we ended up driving from DC up to New Jersey, then eventually into New York City, and spent the next 2 weeks doing ministry there in the city and, you know, having experiences that I remember as we were engaged in these different, you know, things that we were doing there. I remember thinking to myself how we could have never, ever planned this ourselves. We could never have planned for this kind of openness. We could never have planned for this kind of opportunity. We could never have planned to have hundreds and thousands of people who were, because of the horrific circumstances, very attentive, maybe for the first time in their lives, to the gospel. And we had a captive audience. And so my point in sharing that story is just to kind of put it in a context for us today, how as we just go about our lives as followers of Jesus, committed to doing his will and serving him, and as those opportunities come up before us to take steps of faith, we never know what's going to happen when we take the step of faith. I mean, it might just be that one situation that we are dealing with. I mean, it could have been in the story here. It could have been they healed the lame man and the man jumped up and rejoiced and he praised the Lord and he went home and hallelujah, what a great thing. God healed a man today. But remember, that's not only what happened. What happened after that was a great crowd gathered. And so Peter preached the gospel to them. And then as a result of that great crowd gathering, the authorities were upset. So they arrested the disciples and they brought them before the leaders of the nation. And so that brings us to where we're at in the story, where they now have this opportunity to testify to these men. So let's just look at their response as we see it here in the story. So they're brought before the disciples, and back in verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," it was a very courageous response that the apostles had to being brought before these men. Now, remember, these men were the same men that condemned Jesus to death. So this was a very serious and potentially deadly situation they were in. And rather, though, than pulling back because that was the case, they spoke boldly. They spoke courageously. As we go on in the story, in verse 18, it says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" So these guys are very courageous in their response to these men. These men have absolute power. They're able to, you know, cast them in prison and never let them out. They're able to work a deal with the Romans to have them executed if that's what they want to do. But we see that they were totally courageous in the face of that. The second thing I want you to see is that they rehearsed to themselves the sovereignty of God. Now, we use that term, the sovereignty of God. What that means just simply is God's control over all things. And they reminded themselves of that. As we go on in the story, they were eventually let go. Verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage? The people plot vain things. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So they rehearse the sovereignty of God. They come back together and they remind themselves of the fact that God is in control of everything. God's the maker of heaven and earth. He created everything. He actually foretold in advance the very things that they were experiencing. And so they're encouraging themselves by reminding themselves of the sovereignty of God. And then the thing that we see finally that they did is that in the face of this opposition, they prayed. And so verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So that's what they did. They courageously proclaimed the name of Christ. They rehearsed among themselves the sovereignty of God, and then they prayed. Notice what they didn't pray. They didn't pray, Lord, protect us from these kinds of situations in the future. Lord, deal with these men and take them out. They didn't pray those kinds of things. Instead, they prayed for themselves, that they would continue to be fearless and that God would grant his power, not to wipe out the opposition, but that he would grant his power that would help the gospel to go forward. Now, why did they respond the way they did? So what caused such courage on their part? Now, let me remind you that Peter, who is part of this team, Peter and John, let me remind you that Peter had previously cowered when he was asked if he was a follower of Jesus. Remember when Jesus was betrayed and he was going to trial and Peter was there at a distance, he was standing around the fire and someone said, hey, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And Peter swore with an oath that he didn't know Jesus. So what we know about Peter's courage here and his boldness is, first of all, it's not natural. You know, how many times do we feel when we think of the possibility of receiving some sort of resistance or some sort of pushback when we step out to share the gospel, how many times do we feel like, I don't know if I'm brave enough for that? Well, here's the good news. God gives us a boldness. See, Peter wasn't naturally fearless. We saw what he was naturally like previously. How is it that he was so courageous? It's because he was filled with the Spirit. See, and this is what happens when the Spirit comes upon us, when the Spirit is leading us and the Spirit is calling us to do something, as we take our step of faith, we can trust that the Spirit will empower us and give us what we lack. So if I lack courage, God will give me the courage. And that's what we see happening with Peter here. So he's filled with the Spirit. That's the reason why he's emboldened the way he is. But there's a second part to this as well. And I think this is it. Peter not only is filled with the Spirit, but underneath now, there is this certainty of who Jesus is. There's the certainty that Jesus is indeed the Son of God because Peter knows that Jesus is risen from the dead. Peter knows that Christ conquered the grave. So as he stands in front of these men who put Jesus to death, he knows that these men really have no power because the one they put to death rose from the dead. And he's there representing that one. So it's his deep conviction of the certainty of the resurrection of Christ coupled with this empowering of the Spirit that gives him the boldness. Now, they responded this way as well because they knew that come life or death, God was in control of everything. They knew that God was in control of all of history. And of course, if God's in control of all of history, then they understood that God was in control of their lives as well, and there was nothing to be afraid of. Now, think about this. When we are intimidated and when we are pressured, or when, you know, somebody pushes against us because we're standing up for the name of Jesus, what's happening there with us? When we back down, we're backing down because we're afraid of something. Now, for most of us, we're not really afraid anybody's going to kill us, because that's, you know, not all that likely, at least in our context. I mean, that does happen in places though, right? But that's not it so much for us. What it is for us, it's more just rejection. You know, we're going to be rejected. We're going to be looked upon as foolish, or we're going to be, you know, pushed away from this particular group or something like that. But what does that say to us? If that's the thing that is causing us to back down, it really shows us that we're more concerned with the approval of people than we are with the approval of God. But if we understand who God is, he's the one who made the heaven and the earth. He's the one who holds all history in his hand. He's the one who prophesied and told us in advance all of these things were going to happen. You know, at the end, do I really care what somebody else thinks in comparison to what God thinks? So they knew that they had nothing to fear, because as they got the perspective of God's sovereignty, it put everything in its proper place. So here are these men telling us not to do something that God told us to do. So we're not going to worry about the potential outcome. We're going to trust that God's in control of everything. And as we see again, they prayed because they knew that the real issue here was spiritual. Now think about this. Faced with these kinds of things, opposition from the governmental authorities is what we have here. Think of the different things that we might opt to do if we're faced with something like that. You know, we might opt to write our congressman. You know, I got in trouble because I stood up for Jesus, and I want you to, you know, as my congressman, I want you to take note of that, and I want you to make sure that that doesn't happen to me again. Or, we got to get rid of these people that are in power. We got to get new people elected that are going to give us the freedom to do what we want to do. I mean, those are the things that sometimes we just sort of naturally gravitate toward. But those things are not really striking at the root of the issue, because the issue is really spiritual. And they understood that they were in a spiritual battle, and they understood that they needed God to intervene. Now, I'm going to break the news to you about this today, and it might not make you happy, but you know, the reality is, for most of human history, most rulers have been corrupt, evil people. Do you know that? I mean, it's really true. It really is. And where you find exceptions, they are the exception. But that's kind of the way it is. And God is not in the habit historically of just, you know, hey, well, let's just get rid of this guy and put somebody else in. He oftentimes lets those evil people, I mean, these are the people that killed Jesus and they're still in power. But the apostles aren't even praying, Lord, you know, just wipe Caiaphas out. Get rid of Annas. Get rid of all these wicked. These guys were wicked to the bone. They were corrupt. They were corrupt before they ever met Jesus. But that's not how they dealt with it. They dealt with it through prayer, because they knew that behind the scenes, there was even something more sinister. They realized that there was a spiritual force that was working against them. So they prayed because they understood that the essence of the conflict was spiritual. So they were bold because of the empowering of the Spirit and the conviction of the resurrection of Christ. They trusted in God's sovereignty, that God was watching over them. And since he'd led them there, that they could count on him to take care of them. And then they committed everything to him in prayer. Now, I want us to just look at what this situation here can teach us. What can we learn from their experience? Well, one thing we should learn from their experience and the experience of most people, even throughout history, is that the gospel will most commonly be met with resistance. The rest of the book of Acts. Now, up until this point, at least in the book of Acts anyway, it's a relatively short period of time, but there's been sort of a free flow of the gospel. You know, the gospel has gone out, people have responded, and the many thousands have come to know the Savior. But we're not too far into that, you know, probably a few weeks. And all of a sudden, the gospel is now met with resistance. And that's the rest of the story of the book of Acts. But what we need to understand is that's just the reality. That is just the way it is. For the most part, throughout every generation, the gospel advances in the face of resistance. So we shouldn't be surprised by that. We should expect that, really. If we have seasons where there's no resistance, I mean, we're just like, wow, this is fantastic. Thank you, Lord. But there's always some sort of resistance, whether it's spiritual or sociopolitical or cultural or personal. Christ and his gospel are going to be resisted because the gospel is a threat. You know what it's a threat to? It's a threat to personal power.
For the month of November, Back to Basics Radio is offering an inspiring resource titled Answers to Prayer by George Mueller. Have you ever wondered how you can know the will of God? Why do some prayers go seemingly unanswered? In this book, Answers to Prayer by George Mueller, you can learn the six principles to knowing the will of God and the necessary conditions for prayer that prevails. To be inspired by the prayer life of George Mueller and to develop your own prayer life, we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365. BrianBroderson.uk to order Answers to Prayer by George Mueller. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. But before we conclude today's program, here's Pastor Brian with a personal invitation to Israel.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian, and I want to talk to you about our trip to Israel that's coming up in May of 2019. That'll be May the 5th through the 18th. It's a 14-day trip, and you know, you just can't beat going to Israel. As a matter of fact, I just returned from Israel, so I'm pretty excited about the trip that's coming up, and we would love to have you join us. On the trip, we start off, we go into the city of Tel Aviv, and we just relax for a day and get our bearings about us, and then we launch out into the tour. Our first stop is the city of Joppa, where Jonah left from, and where Peter was there and got the message to come to Caesarea so he could go to the house of Cornelius. And that's where we start, and then we head to the Sea of Galilee, and we're there for a number of days visiting all the sites around the Sea of Galilee where Jesus ministered and many of the other events that happened in that region, Old Testament stories. And then we head to the area of the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea, beautiful desert place, and we spend a couple of nights there. It's relaxing, it's wonderful. A couple of nice biblical sites in the area. And then we wrap everything up. The final part of our tour is Jerusalem itself. And we walk the city of Jerusalem. We go to all the pertinent sites. And the whole tour
everything wraps up with communion at the Garden Tomb. And so I'm excited about the trip that's coming up, and we would love to have you be part of this trip. Many, many people have gone with us, and many are already signed up, but we do have some more spaces, and so we'd love to have you join us. And you can find out all the information about the trip at israel.cccm.com. So pray about it, and love to have you join us for Israel 2019, May the 5th through the 18th, israel.cccm.com. God bless you.
We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.